6, and I'm joined on the line now, regretfully for the last time, by Liam Horan, Managing Director of Sliochán Careers. And Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aidan.
And we'll talk about your move presently, but for the moment we'll deal with this query from KG by email. I'm in for a third interview next week. Yes, 3 interviews. It's a big job and the company has a high public profile. I really don't know what else I can bring to the table in this third interview. Any suggestions?
It's probably hard to figure out why exactly there are 3 interviews, and I don't mean that in a kind of a wearily cynical kind of a way, but companies sometimes use a third interview for a different reason. You know, I know of some companies who use the third interview to bring in the boss, basically, to say this is our chosen candidate. We've brought in 3 people, but we're very keen on person A, we'll say. What do you think? And that the decision is almost already made, but the bring the boss into rubber stamp and maybe to cover some mass as well too. Or they may bring the boss in to help them adjudicate on a tight run race between 2 or 3 candidates. So the first thing I would say to this candidate is, can you get some idea on who's on the interview panel? And at this stage, you probably have built up some form of relationship with the recruiter or with the HR department of the company. And if you can get an idea who's on the panel, that could tell you a lot. So if the big boss, as we say, is there this time, that's they're going to be the deciding factor, you can imagine. Then their opinion will swing the day in all likelihood, or you know, they have a very big say in it. So you can then do a bit of research on that person and say, well, what matters to them? Well, you know, where do they come from? What's their background? What have they done in the company? What have they stood for? You know, and you can maybe tailor your answers to meet that. And that, I don't mean that to sound kind of like a form of subterfuge. At this stage, you're in so deep that they know you can do the job, and it's how you perform now that could decide whether you get it or not. You know, they don't bring chumps to third interviews. So you've got to go with the confidence that yes, I can do this job, but I now need to figure out which parts of my skills or my experience are they really interested in. What really fits in here, and that's why figuring out what the boss or the people on the final interview panel are serious about or are keen about could help you a lot. So, you know, every company has evolved. Every boss or leadership team or management team has brought a company somewhere. And if you can figure out or trace where they've brought them to, you might be able to kind of, you know, sort of march in tune with them. You know what I mean? So we can look at organisations and think, oh, they're these big static entities. But in fact, they're constantly evolving. And the direction that managers and owners, etc., put the companies in is what you need to be figuring out right now. I think at this stage you need to know where exactly are they going, what exactly are they about right now, and how can I fit in with that. So I think that's the first thing that you possibly should be looking at going to a third interview.
And then?
And then, so that's one thing, that's one area might be, one reason why they're having a third interview. The other thing I'd say is there's a few things to guard against. Sometimes people think at third interview that they've the job got already and they get complacent. I have seen that. I've seen people get ready to go to third interview with the negotiation kind of head on them, and it turns out it's been a very searching third interview and they weren't ready for it. I've also seen people get spooked going to a third interview where they kind of start thinking about all the things they feel that they don't have for the job, and they start imagining, or maybe they get some intelligence and other runners in the race and start thinking, oh, I don't have this, or they can create all sorts of conspiracy theories. Oh, they've never had a female person in this position, they're going to put a female in now and I'm male, or they've never had a male in this position before, they're going to put a male in and I'm female. Do you know what I mean? So you can create all these scenarios in your head before you go to a third interview, because at this stage you're kind of running out of things to talk about or things to think about. And I would say you need to go to a third interview very confident that you can do the job. They've already more or less told you you can do the job. So don't be like in the Shakespearean poem, desiring this man's scope and that man's grace or something like that. Don't be allowing yourself to get put off by real or imagined other rivals for the job, because you know every candidate will be scrutinized in full, and you just need to be fairly sure of what you offer and go in there and talk about that. At this stage in the race as well, the time for some of the BS that might have characterized it earlier on is probably over now. They're getting to know you better. You know, the first interview can be a little bit artificial at times, but by now you're in deep. And I would also say a key point is that you must bring some ideas to the table based on the first two interviews. So your mindset should be on the lines of, well, I've been here for two interviews. I've done a lot of work to get to know the company. I've got to know some of the interview panel. I'm now more knowledgeable than I was a month ago. And based on that knowledge, here are further ideas I have for this job. So you should be coming into real detail now, a real understanding of what you can offer in the role, rather than maybe a month ago, where it was a more artificial kind of a scenario, if you know what I mean.
And, Liam, could it be the case that that the interview panel is actually assessing the candidates who are still in this race as to who has the greater determination or the greatest ambition or the greatest staying power?
It could well be, and that's not a bad point, that, excuse me, people, you know, staying power is probably a good word for it, you know, and but maybe not even just that, but are they improving as the three interviews have gone on? Are they growing into it? Do you see them getting more and more, you know, does their face begin to fit more and more? Does their understanding of the organisation come across more than it did earlier? Have they evolved with the whole month-long process? Have they gone with it? Have they figured out more things? Or are they still the same person they were a month ago in terms of what they're telling the organisation? And I think that, you know, a third interview is almost like the second week of the job nearly. You know, at this stage they should be trying to show knowledge and show real enthusiasm for it as well. So, you know, based on what I've heard and what I've prepared, etc., I am now more determined than ever to take on this role. And I think that should show. Some people wilt a little bit as an interview thing goes on, because it is hard going. It's distracting when you're in for interview. You're thinking about your current role, and faraway hills can become green, and you can get a bit flustered, etc. So showing that you're still very clear-minded about what you bring to the role is not an insignificant thing to achieve, because you can get thrown as well by the sheer range of the job you're going for. You know, which part of the job is more important than another part? What am I going to actually be doing the first month or 2 months or 3 months? There's an awful lot, there's a huge amount of things to consider. And if you can stay clear-minded through the whole thing and turn up on the third day as somebody who looks like you fit the bill, that's what you need to be aiming for here.
And just a comment from a listener. Is it really necessary to have a competition process that involves three interviews and possibly more?
I've heard as long as seven, would you believe?
Really?
It was a very, very big position, yeah. And I'd probably like to know more about this as well. Has there been a presentation so far, for example? Part of me would query the value of any interviews to a certain extent, you know, that one, two, three or seven, you know, are you ever really getting to know the people involved anyway? And I presume in a job like this, that this company is doing a lot of background checking with referees and contacts discreetly, etc. So it's not all down to the interview. But I suppose, in you know, this candidate can't have an existential kind of crisis right now about whether or not interviews are the best way of doing this. This is the race they're in, and they need to try and meet it as best they can. And interview panels, and, you know, I'm sure you've been on interview panels yourself, they regularly say the right person came in the door and we just knew it straight away. And I've seen people turn it around in the second or third interview, coming in very strong and, you know, winning the day. And that's what this candidate needs to be aiming for, is to turn up there looking like the person who can take on what they've described as a very high public profile role. So that, you know, that's another dimension to any job, you know, in terms of maybe media attention. There may be, you know, public awareness, all that kind of thing. So, you know, they've got to walk in there feeling or displaying that they have all of that for the role.
Very good. We sincerely hope that KG is successful and that perhaps something has been learned as a result of our conversation. Now, as I said at the start, Liam, this is your final slot with us. Unfortunately, you're moving on to pastures new.
Yes, no, so physician, heal thyself, as they say. Yes, I'm taking on a role with the Western Development Commission as what's known as a National Hubs Executive. And what that is helping to promote the remote working or co-working hubs or enterprise hubs of Ireland. In fact, the Western Development Commission has a national remit in this regard. They're involved, as you know, the government have been talking a lot about this, particularly in the last few weeks, about developing more enterprise hubs around the country so that they can support the whole move towards no longer going to the office and no longer having to go to the office. People working in different parts of the country or different parts of the world, indeed, you know, working in Ireland here for a company based in America. And my role will be to try and just generate interest in it, generate activity. There are already quite a few of these enterprise hubs around the country to be involved in getting them onto a consistent platform for booking and for marketing and all that kind of thing. So it's an interesting role. It's an area, as you probably know from my slot here on a Monday evening, I have a big interest in the whole nature of how work is changing. So the business scene of our careers will continue, but just not with me involved day to day.
And just in relation to this new position, from a general perspective, is it the case that as a result of COVID-19, the view by government in relation to work is changing too? Because I was reading earlier in the day that something like 1 billion euros being made available for this development, not necessarily in the area you're talking about, but nonetheless, hubs that would facilitate people working from home more regularly.
Yeah, I think COVID-19 has changed everything. And I think the fund you might be talking about might be for listed buildings as well.
Correct, yes.
And wouldn't that be fantastic if some listed buildings were both preserved and brought back to life, perhaps, as places where people could work in smaller groups, etc.
Yes.
COVID has changed everything, really. And, you know, that doesn't mean that it's going totally to remote work. There are various theories on where it will actually finish up when we get out of COVID. Will it be a kind of a hybrid model? One of the theories is that people will live within striking distance of the office. Again, these are generalizations. Not everybody's going to do this, but that they live within striking distance of the office so they can go to the office maybe a day a week or 2 days every month or something like that. But they will work largely from home or from a local enterprise centre where they can get a desk or a private room. But definitely, COVID has changed everything. Yes, the whole sort of guarantee that people will congregate in large buildings like we did once upon a time is no longer there. And some of the biggest brands in the world are now saying to their staff, you can work from home if you wish. And, you know, from home can also mean you can work from an enterprise centre, you can work from an office near your own home. I think one of the challenges to understand is that we haven't really got a sample of what it's like to work from home in the last 12 months because we've been doing it during a pandemic and people have tried to teach their kids while keeping their jobs going at the same time. When we get beyond that and we get to a point where COVID-19 no longer sort of dominates all our movements, then I think people get a better understanding of what it's like to not be in an office all the time, whether you're working from home or working from a little office nearby your home place, you know. So I think there are fascinating times ahead. I think also, which is why I'm interested in this job, I think it holds out a lot of prospects for smaller towns as well to get 50, 60, 70, 80 people, maybe more, working quietly, not all of the same company, but living locally, contributing locally to the economy, involved in local drama or music or sport, and maybe could be a quiet revolution, I think, of smaller towns, etc.
Very good. Well, look, Liam, thank you very much indeed for your contribution over the past, I think it must be 12 months now at this stage, if not much more than that. Really, really appreciated, and let me assure you, you will be missed, and also by our listeners, but very best of luck to you in this new, how should I describe it, new part of your life, new journey in your life.
Yeah, thanks yourself, Aidan. I've always enjoyed coming on a Monday evening, and I wish the station and yourself all the very best.
Thank you very much indeed. Liam Horan, as always, many thanks.
Thank you.